two terms now?
This is my first term.
This is your first term still. So what are some of the things that you've accomplished? I know I hear a lot about the Sharon Hospital is a hot topic. I hear a lot about veterans because you're a veteran yourself and you're a big advocate for veterans. So tell us some of the things that that you're on top of and you've been accomplished.
Yeah, these last 2 years really have flown by. I can't believe it's time to run again. But we've certainly accomplished a lot, but there's still a lot left to do. Being a freshman legislator and being on the Appropriations Committee, on the Public Safety Committee and Human Services, we've really had an opportunity to really dig into the budget. As we know, we're facing a huge deficit in the next 2 years, upwards of $4 billion. Our unfunded liabilities in Connecticut are upwards of $80 billion. So it's a big hole to fill. But Connecticut residents and the residents of Northwest Corner, they're relying on us to have the foresight to see what the proper corrections are and where we can make those structural changes within the budget. And thankfully, last year, we were able to finally pass a truly bipartisan budget, which was the first time that's happened in Connecticut in over half a century.
Wow.
Because our numbers are so close. We're tied in the Senate. We're off by a few seats in the House. So because our numbers are so close, it forced both sides to finally come together and negotiate and have that cordial dialogue, that collegial talking points that we can really look at. Listen, the Republicans are looking for this. The Democrats are looking for this. Where can we meet in the middle? And we did ask the governor to step out of the room because he seemed to be a common thorn in everyone's side. But we were able to achieve a bonding cap, a spending cap. We now get to approve all of the union negotiations that are signed off by the governor. They have to come to the legislature. So while it wasn't a perfect budget, we were able to achieve some safeguards. And looking over to the veteran side, myself being an Army veteran after 12 years serving in Iraq and Afghanistan and coming back home, being the first post 9/11 combat veteran voted to the General Assembly.
And really?
Yes. I wasn't aware of that until some of my veteran colleagues had told me. They're like, hey, we don't think there's anybody post 9/11 era serving in the General Assembly. We think you're the first one. And I was very humbled by that title, but knew that not only was I representing now the Northwest Corner, I was representing all of the veterans in Connecticut. And we were able to pass a groundbreaking law that is, when I explain it, you're going to say, well, that just seems like a no-brainer. Why isn't it replicated elsewhere? But as it stands right now, if a veteran received an other than honorable discharge because of their PTSD from service, post-traumatic stress, TBI, which is traumatic brain injury, or MST, military sexual trauma, if they had an OTH discharge, they are not able to receive any benefits in Connecticut or the federal VA. So there's no tuition assistance, there's no mental health assistance, nothing from the VA hospitals at all. So we led a charge with IAVA, which is Iraq and Afghanistan Vets of America, the VFW, American Legion. All these service organizations came to the table and said, listen, these people deserve the benefits more than most because they are struggling because of a service-related issue. Just because they're discharged with an OTH, you're sending them back home with no opportunity to heal. So we testified. It was very emotional testimony in the springtime, and everyone came in to tell their stories, and I'm very happy to say that it passed unanimously in the House and Senate. So Connecticut is the first state in the nation to pass this.
Now, the state is going to fund that part of it for Connecticut state veterans?
Right now there's roughly 800 veterans in Connecticut that fall into this particular category. And doing the numbers, we don't think it's a huge expense for the state given what these individuals had gone through. You know, they served with their blood and tears, and we owe it to them to make sure that they can heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. You're 100% right. That's the first I'd heard of that. Yeah. I didn't know. So that's nationwide.
Nationwide,
they don't get the care.
They don't get this. So now, you know, we're going to storm the hill, they call it. There's a lot of veterans organizations that go down to Washington, and they speak with the federal delegation. But this just seems like a no-brainer. And I think a lot of people aren't aware that they're not receiving these benefits. So the more people that know about this, the more we can shed some light on it. Hopefully everyone can follow suit with Connecticut.
Well, I didn't realize that you get discharged if you have a brain injury or a PTSD and they send you home,
well,
it's not an honorable discharge?
Yeah, it's
depending. So if you have PTSD from serving overseas,
right.
And you get into a bar fight, right. or you fight with your company commander, you'll get another dishonorable discharge because of those actions. Hmm. But that action was rooted into your mental instability from TBI or PTSD because of Iraq and Afghanistan or Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
We have Vietnam vets that fall under
this
category.
Same thing.
So that action, we're saying, wouldn't have happened if they weren't suffering from these ailments. Mm-hmm. So they need to get the help that they deserve.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel, you did a great job.
It's been a lot.
I bet those 800 guys are pretty excited, guys and gals. What the hell, if they never got...
Yeah.
If they had to, I don't know, how would they get care? I mean,
they don't.
Yeah. They just let it go.
And there's Vietnam veterans that have come up to me in tears that for 40, 50 years they've kept everything inside because our government turned their backs on them. America didn't welcome them home as they are today. And some of them have come up and said, for the first time, I actually feel like a veteran.
Nice.
And they're just so grateful. And that's what makes it all worth it. You know, the long hours we put in out there, the talking and the negotiating, it's all worth it when you see the final product. And we recently re-stood up the Fire and EMS Caucus, Legislative Caucus out in Hartford, myself being a volunteer firefighter and an EMT in Canaan in Falls Village. We saw an opportunity where our first responders really weren't given the voice that they deserved out there. So a caucus is a group of legislators that come together for a collective interest. So, a lot of people, I don't know anybody who doesn't support first responders, but we're the second largest caucus in Hartford now. Over 52 legislators are members of this caucus, and we talk about firefighter cancer, the toxins and carcinogens that these firefighters are coming down with, especially those who responded to Ground Zero in New York City. We're looking at a number of protections for first responders because we are frequently assaulted on scene with somebody who may be psychotic or have another issue going on. So we are protected that way when we're looking at health benefits or even life benefits. So it's given a bigger voice to people who may not have had it in the past.
Wow. And I know Sharon Hospital has been a hot topic for quite a while. What seems to be going on there?
Well,
I just talked to somebody, a couple from Millerton, just had a baby the other day.
Yeah.
And they went there and they were very happy with the care, but it wasn't like they had that birthing suite or whatever, I guess. I don't know. But
the announcement of this closure took everybody by surprise back in the summer. And there was basically no warning to this coming about. We had they call it a town hall type meeting back in May. It was in the Sharon Town Hall. And HealthQuest administrators came out and they spoke of all of the great things they were doing, all the money they wanted to invest or reinvest. And not once was maternity mentioned as a possible area to close. So when we found out about this right around July 4th, there were mothers who were calling me crying, not knowing what their future looked like because they were in their second or third trimester, many of them just weeks away from giving birth, and now this news came out, and they were just unsure of their future. So I did my best working with Senator Minor, working with Brent Colley, the first selectman in Sharon, and we got to speak with Peter Cordeau, Christina McCulloch, the chief nursing officer in Sharon, and we just wanted answers because this took all of us by surprise. And, they quickly backpedaled. I think they had a communication plan that wasn't rolled out effectively. And I don't know if they just had it in their minds that they thought they were going to announce this and everyone was going to accept it, but it was the exact opposite. At a time when we're trying to attract younger families to the area, when women's health are certainly paramount in any healthcare discussion, having the opportunity to give labor and deliver, or go into labor and deliver at the hospital where you were previously seeking your prenatal care, we need that full service capability. And now we fast forward 5 months. HealthQuest seems to continue to backpedal from what their aspirations were in July. They're in the process of trying to acquire Western Connecticut Health Network, which is basically all of the healthcare institutions along the Route 7 corridor down to Norwalk, Connecticut.
Really?
It is. And, you know, I feel that they've certainly dropped the ball here in Sharon. They have a three-year contractual obligation that they signed and they agreed to, and we intend to hold them to that. But more specifically, they're not very open to having meetings with us anymore. Because I think they do realize the damage that they made. But looking at Western Connecticut Health Network and their certificate of need process, there are going to be opportunities for public hearings for people to come in and speak favorably or not favorably for this acquisition. And just because it's Western Connecticut Health Network doesn't mean that other entities that fall under HealthQuest can't be spoken about. So that's going to be our opportunity to go in and put them on record and talk about Sharon and say, you know, what you tried to do in Sharon really angered a lot of people, and it questioned our trust with you. And we may not be as favorable to you acquiring Western Connecticut Health Network because of what you did in Sharon. So I think there's still some hiccups in the future for them.
Wow. So you've had a full-blown 2 years by the sounds of things, huh?
It's been baptism by fire, I'll say that.
Is it rewarding, Brian? Are you happy you ran when you...
Yes.
Decided to?
Yeah, it's very rewarding, and my phone is always on. Everyone has my cell phone number, and when you consider constituent service, it's not just returning an email that you may have gotten in your Hartford office. You know, people want to know that you're approachable, that you're receptive to their concerns. My phone rings at midnight because someone lost power. I answer it. If there's a roadblock, if someone's having a problem with social services, their unemployment check didn't come in, They know they can call me directly. They're not going to have to go through four or five channels to get a hold of me. They can see me in the grocery store, in the gas station. They know that I'm always working. I never take a day off. But it's not because I have no other life. It's because I truly value. I want to thank you for all that you do. I know you have been a staple of the tri-state area for a long time, and I can't even imagine what the monetary number is of the money that you've raised over your time in doing this with the Sunday in the Country Food Drive. You've helped a countless number of families and individuals, and I know that you have a special place in their heart and mine as well.